the question of the purposeful life. So, you know, if you go walking on the beaches here on the North Shore, you find plenty of people with dogs. And you see, New Zealanders love their dogs, right? You see a lot of people walking dogs. And it appears to me there's probably two different ways of walking a dog. One is that the dog is walking you, or you're walking the dog. One is the dog deciding where it wants to go and just dragging you along behind it. The bigger it is, the more likely that is to happen. Or you're in absolute control of the dog. And that kind of illustrates our approach to purpose in life. I think it's quite possible for many people to kind of be purposeless, just to be dragged along in life by whatever, by every whim, by every circumstance, by what you might feel, or just reacting and responding, but not actually having a sense of the understanding of life, why I'm here, who I am, what my purpose is, where I'm going, how, in the light of all of those things, I should live. Even as Christians who profess the name of Christ, we can still be somewhat purposeless. And yet God in Christ has called us to very purposeful lives. There was a book published a little while ago called The Purpose-Driven Life. I didn't use that phrase, the purpose-driven life, because it sounds too driven. Sounds a bit full on. Nevertheless, he was picking up on a theme, on the need for us to have purpose in life. And so I'm suggesting that there is a call to a purposeful life, even in the prayer of Paul. As Paul prays what he does and asks the things that he asks for God's people, it is a prayer inspired by the Holy Spirit. And so what Paul desires in his prayer for the believers is what God desires for us. And God desires that our life have purpose. In the Lord Jesus Christ, we're called to purpose. We're called to a meaningful life, a life with direction. Time is passing like sands through the hourglass. And we're left to answer the question before the Lord, what have I done with my time? How have I lived my life? I think about that famous quote of C.S. Lewis's about desires, which also, in a sense, is picking up on the sense of purpose in life. He talks about desires and how we, by our weak desires, limit our meaning and purpose in life. C.S. Lewis, I've quoted this before, but I'll quote it again in case you've never heard it. He says, "It would seem that our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak." A stimulating way to express it. It seems that our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We are actually half-hearted people. We fool about with drink and sex and ambition. We fool about with limited things. Our desires for those things are strong, but if our desires were greater and stronger, we would desire greater and stronger things than those limited passing things of this life. That's my translation of C.S. Lewis. We are half-hearted, fooling about with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered us. It's like a little child who sits in the gutter making a mud pie because he has no idea that something as beautiful as a beach is just down the road. This prayer by Paul calls us to a purposeful life. One of the key characteristics of a purposeful life is to know God's will. In verse 9 he says, "So from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." A key characteristic of a purposeful life is that we know God's will, and that is Paul's prayer. "I have not ceased praying that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. It's quite frightening, isn't it, to think about how easy it is for us to make decisions and choices in life, both large and small, without reference to what God himself might actually want for us. To be habitually choosing according to our will and our desires and our preferences without reference to what God wants. It's depressing sometimes when I hear somebody saying, I'm going to do this. It's a major thing, like a move to a whole other city. And discovering that in that process, the will of the Lord had not even been sought. Paul desires that we be a people who know God's will in all of life. In all of life. And so his request is a very full request, that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. The book of Proverbs kind of writes home that in order to understand life, we're to have God's wisdom and God's knowledge. We're to know God's will. Remember how the whole book of Proverbs begins with, this is really the theme in chapter 1 of the book of Proverbs in verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. What the proverb is saying and what undergirds Paul's prayer is if we're to know anything, if we're to know anything about who we are and how life is to be lived and what its meaning and purpose is, then we're to know and fear God and know what he says. That kind of sounds like bread and butter, but I guess sometimes we struggle to apply it. And the reality is that the alternative to that, to knowing God's will, is to begin with ourselves, to begin with human knowledge. If we begin with ourselves and we begin with human knowledge, then we're just starting with the very finite and the very limited. As I look at myself, I am all too aware of how finite, limited, and broken and confused I am. To seek the answers to life, to seek direction, to seek meaning and purpose in myself, really I'm going to miss something. I'm going to miss something great. Think about the whole tenor of current Western thought and views of humanity. It's very truncated, isn't it? A Western view of life limits itself to the material. So that even we as human beings end up being viewed as a kind of a network of physiological reactions. Our emotions and our desires are only physiological reactions. But the Bible is calling us to something greater and something larger. Even within us, there is the recognition that there is something greater and something larger to find meaning and purpose in, not in ourselves, but outside of ourselves. Paul calls us to know God's will, to know what he says. And God has revealed himself and his will for us supremely in the Lord Jesus Christ. Supremely in the scriptures that testify to him. Last week, in the message last week, I simply asked the question, are you growing spiritually? And I left us with the challenge that in order to grow spiritually, we need to know what God has revealed and what God has said. If we don't know what God has revealed and what God has said, then how can we grow in the things of God? Paul is picking up on that and praying that we would know what his will is. Are you growing in the knowledge of God's will? To provide purpose and meaning for your life, to provide clear direction as to why you are who you are and why you're here now and why you do what you do. See, the reality is that knowing the will of God, having spiritual wisdom and understanding in the biblical view of that, is never purely academic or purely theoretical. It's never just head knowledge. Knowing God's will is never just head knowledge. See, that comes out very clearly in this prayer. Paul asks that they would be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. See verse 10 now? So as, in order that, for this purpose, that you walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Paul wants them to know what God says, not so that they would simply know what God says, but so that it should issue in a purposeful life. And he categorizes a purposeful life in verse 10 with four characteristics. So that you would walk, that is, live in a manner worthy of the Lord, in a manner befitting who the Lord is. That's the first one. The second one is fully pleasing to him. See how that's a paradigm shift? Our tendency is to live lives fully pleasing to ourselves. But a purposeful life is a life that is fully pleasing to him. I pray that nearly every day, that I would live a life pleasing to him, and I fail every day, but I recognize the rightness that I should please him in my life. The third one is bearing fruit in every good work. And the fourth one is to increase in the knowledge of God. You see how God's desires for us and the person of God takes center stage here. What God wants takes center stage. The problem is our vision of life is quite different. That's why the scriptures constantly call us to this paradigm shift. Our vision of life is like a movie or a... If you've ever watched a play, you know, our vision of life is that we're on the center stage and the spotlights are on us and the applause is for us and Christ is kind of in the wings encouraging us on, but we're in the center. That's our vision of life. You think about how that works. You think about how that works out. When you watch a movie, who do we always identify with in a movie? We identify with the stars. We identify ourselves with the heroes. See? We never identify ourselves with the bad guys. The guys who are doing the wrong things. We don't like them. I think the problem is that in reality, the biblical narrative says that's actually who we are. And the star of the story, the hero in the story, is Jesus. See? He's the rescuer. He's the good guy. We are the sinful and broken ones, and he redeems and rescues us, and he's the one that's on center stage, under the spotlight, and we find our life in worshiping and knowing and serving him and being lost in praise and wonder of Jesus Christ. To live our lives for him. Why does Paul want us to know God's will? It's so that we would live a life where he is on the center stage. And I don't have time to work through those four characteristics in verse 10. You take that home and meditate on it this week. Meditate on walking in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. But it's that last one I wanted to make another point about. Paul's desire is that one of the outcomes of knowing God's will is to know God himself. See that? That you would increase in the knowledge of God. So another key characteristic of a purposeful life is knowing God himself. In fact, I would say the high point of a purposeful life is that God is at the center and we are growing to know him. That's another great example that Paul is not praying for mere theoretical knowledge. He's praying for a knowledge whose outcome is a personal, intimate relationship with the living God. Are we aware of how important that is? You know, the Shorter Catechism, that first question, what is the chief end of man? Or what is the purpose of our existence? It is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. You could sum that up as saying it is to know God. Jesus himself actually said that. In John's Gospel, chapter 17 and verse 3, Jesus gives a definition of eternal life. We think eternal life is life that has no end. We think of it in time frame terms. Jesus says eternal life is this. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. Eternal life is not first a quantity thing, it is a quality thing. The quality is life that knows God personally. It is relational. And that's the glory of the gospel, you see, that Jesus has brought us into that relationship. A purposeful life is rooted in a knowledge of God. What does that mean, the knowledge of God? J.I. Packer wrote a great book some years ago called Knowing God, as a call and a reminder to this great reality in the Christian life. And in his introduction, I can't remember how he worded it, but it was something like this. There's two kinds of knowing, he said. One is the man who's sitting on a balcony overlooking a street where people are walking by, going about life. And he said, the person on the balcony is an observer of life in the street, and he can discuss it and comment on it, but he's not in the street, he's on the balcony. It's a theoretical knowledge. That's one way of knowing. But there's a knowing of the people in the street. They're in life, doing life. They know it in a real personal experiential sense. And he says the second is what knowing God is really about. It is not mere theory. It is relationship with the personal God who has come in his Son to make relationship with himself. My question this morning is, do you know God like that? Are you growing to know God like that? It's like the boy making mud pies, not knowing that the beach is down the road. That relationship with God is there for all of us. We taste it. But he continues to open up more, to call us and to fill us and to transform our lives, to shift us from what doesn't matter to what matters. Well, he has done that in grace. I'm just going to skip that third point there about knowing power. Another key to the purposeful life is knowing God's grace. It is grace that brings us into the knowledge of God. And so I want us to consider this momentarily as we actually prepare our hearts to come to the Lord's table. Knowing God's grace. We recognize that we can be purposeless in life. We recognize that our purpose can be misdirected. We recognize that we don't please God as we ought or know Him as we should. Yet none of that writes us off or condemns us. Grace in Jesus Christ continually opens the way. And here's how He reminds us of grace in verse 12. We are to be giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Just want you to focus on three words there. In verses 12 and 13, qualified, delivered, and transferred. Now this is grace. This is the grace of the gospel speaking to us in all our sin, in all our brokenness, in all our need. This is a reason for thankfulness. This is what we are encouraged by at the Lord's table, that He has qualified, delivered, and transferred us. I love that word, qualified. You know, you think about that word, qualified, we think, you know, I want a job and I'm not qualified, or I am qualified, or... Well, He's talking about this in terms of being able to know God, being able to be in relationship with Him. And the implication is that in and of ourselves, we are, at the very least, not qualified. We don't have what it takes because of our sinful hearts, which actually means we are disqualified from knowing God. But see what God has done in His grace? See how He has acted towards us? He Himself has qualified us to know Him. What a marvelous grace. He has given us everything. It's like me applying for a job and having no qualifications and somebody saying, "Here you go. Here's all the degrees and everything you need. You can have it. It's yours." And we are sinful, broken, and unrighteousness, and God is saying to us, "Here's what Christ has. All His holiness, all His righteousness. It's yours. And in that you are qualified." And then He reminds us that we have been delivered. In and of ourselves, we belong to the domain of darkness. We belong to that which is in antithesis to the light and holiness of God. That's where we were. That's where our citizenship was. And Jesus Christ has delivered us out of that domain. And He has transferred us. God has transferred us in grace into the kingdom of His beloved Son. What a rescue. What a rescue. Don't you love the way He says, He doesn't simply say He's transferred us into His kingdom. He has transferred us into the kingdom of His beloved Son. If we belong to the kingdom of God's beloved Son, that means instead of being citizens of the domain of darkness, we in that kingdom are beloved sons and daughters as He is the beloved Son. It's all a finished and completed work. See, He says He's done this, qualified, delivered, and transferred us into the kingdom of His beloved Son, verse 14, in whom, in Christ, we have the redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He's done that. He has done that in Christ. It is a done work. That's why Christ cried out on the cross, "It is finished. It is done." Our redemption in Him. So my encouragement from this today, well, this is a reminder. We have every reason to live purpose-filled lives, because this is who we are. This is what we've been made for. And as you approach the week ahead, just reconsider, am I approaching it with purpose for God, purpose in Christ, purpose consistent with who I am now? And right now, here's this encouragement. There are times in our lives when we know our broken hearts and we feel ourselves profoundly disqualified from knowing God or even being in His kingdom. But what God says is truer and greater and stronger by far. He says, I have qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. I have delivered you from the domain of darkness, and I have transferred you into the kingdom of my beloved Son. This morning, as we come to the Lord's table, this is a great morning to hear those words, because God is doing what He does in the church. He allows us to hear the gospel and to see the gospel. You see, by word and by sacrament, He writes home to us His glorious grace. By the bread and the wine, the symbols of His broken body and poured out blood, He is affirming to us, I have qualified you in Christ. And so you see, there is an invitation for you and I to come. And all our wrestlings and all our brokenness and all our doubts and fears, and to say, yes, God, I believe. I believe you. Thank you. Strengthen me out of that to live out a purposeful life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for what you call us to, and we thank you that you enable us, and we thank you for the gospel of grace that brings us into those realities. And we come again this morning in all our brokenness and need, confessing the ways that we have lived and embracing gladly and fully the gospel as it is held out to us in Jesus Christ. And we pray for each other. We pray that you would help us to know your will, that you would enable us to walk in a manner worthy of you, fully pleasing to you, bearing fruit in every good work, and that you would cause us to increase in the knowledge of you. Hear us and help us, and as we come to the Lord's table, feed us with these truths, feed us with the person of Jesus Christ, we pray. In His name, Amen.